Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Najib Razak's final appeal over the SRC case is expected to conclude this week. The five-person bench, which is chaired by the Chief Justice Tengku Maimun Tuan Muat, has set 4 days this week to continue hearing Najib's main appeal to quash his conviction over seven criminal charges, as well as his sentence of 12 years in jail and 210 million ringgit in fines. However, several twists and turns happened last week. What is it that we need to know and understand ahead of the hearing resuming tomorrow? Lawyer Niu Sin Yu joins us now to share some thoughts on the proceedings so far. Sin Yu, the 2 days of the proceedings proper that happened last week, so many twists, one after the other. And I can only speak for myself, but I don't have a legal background. And I was a bit confused by the judicial process. Maybe you can begin a conversation by helping walk us through the sequence of events. But not just that, how you were reading the situation as someone who is within the legal fraternity, someone who understands not just the context, but also the subtext.
Right. Okay. So we have to squeeze 4 days of events into, I don't know, next 10 minutes. Let's try.
Yes.
Okay. There are four main things that happened. The first is Najib's application to adduce fresh evidence. The second is the application for adjournment of 4 months to have the appeal heard. The third is the application by Hisham to discharge himself as counsel. And then the fourth is the hearing of the appeal itself. So now let's start with the application to adduce fresh evidence. What had happened here was Najib sought to adduce fresh evidence pertaining to Justice Nazlan's alleged conflict or bias on account of his role as the group counsel and group company secretary of Maybank Group of Companies. And that includes Maybank Investment Berhad. So Najib's side said that the documentary and oral evidence that he intends to adduce as fresh evidence will be able to establish Justice Nazlan's involvement with Maybank and thereby establish a real danger of bias on his part in a few material aspects. And what had happened is, well, let me explain how it's supposed to work. So how it works is that you have a criminal trial and that has been completed at the High Court, which is the trial court. So the rule is that everything that you intend to adduce as evidence in support of your case, it must be done at the trial stage. The court will then adjudicate based on all evidence adduced before it. After the trial, there will be two stages of appeal. The first stage of appeal is the Court of Appeal. The second stage of appeal is the Federal Court, which is where we are at now. At an appeal stage, you cannot adduce anything new. You can only rely on what you had adduced at trial. So like all rules, there are, of course, exceptions. And the first is that the evidence must not be available at trial. And the second is that the evidence must be relevant. There are a few more, but I won't go into that. Relevant to this case is that Najib sought to adduce evidence which was not adduced at trial. The federal court denied it on the basis that it was something which could have been obtained at trial with reasonable diligence and also on the basis that it was not relevant in any event. So that's the first event that had happened.
The second one, I'm guessing it has to do with the changing of lawyers, discharging of lawyers.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that is where the issue of adjournment comes in. And the basis of Najib's current lawyer's application for adjournment is that the new lawyers only recently took over and that the appeals, spanning tens of thousands of documents, disclose strong and serious points to be canvassed. And his team, his new team, should be given adequate opportunity to do a good job. The federal court rejected this application and refused to adjourn the matter on the basis that the dates of the appeal had long been known since as far back as April, which is some 4 months ago. And all parties knew about this. And simply being unprepared was not a good reason to adjourn. So that's the second major thing that happened, which is also related to the third major event. And the third major event is that Hisham he applied to discharge himself if the adjournment, given that the adjournment was not given, because he was not ready to proceed with the hearing. And this, again, was denied. The federal court stated that Hisham's reason was not adequate to justify his recusal bid. So Hisham was forced to stay on record.
Okay, so you've given us some context. One of the things that also captured attention was the lack of submissions, or the choice not to have submissions. How does that work? I mean, no submissions, would that harm the defense?
Oh, of course it will harm the defense. And this really ties to the adjournment as well as the application to discharge. And not offering submissions, not submitting, is very rare, because this is the final stage of appeal, and this is really your final shot at arguing why the earlier courts got it wrong. So I suppose in a unprecedented situation, at least as far as memory can take me, which is not very long, the respondent, which is the prosecution, began their submissions. In almost every case, you would have the appellants go first and the respondents will respond. But in this case, from what was reported, the appellant was merely relying on their written submissions. Najib's team is merely relying on their written submissions that were filed in lower courts, which is the High Court and the Court of Appeal. And there were no written submissions that were filed in the federal court. And it looks like, based on what was reported, it looks like there won't be any oral submissions as well. So all that, it is really bad, because all the federal court could rely on is the petition of appeal. And that simply, it's a very summarized document saying that, stating all the grounds of why the earlier courts got it wrong. So that alone
Court still make a ruling even though there are no written submissions from Najib's counsel? Can the court still proceed with a ruling?
Yes, the court can, because even in absence of any written submissions or any oral submissions, the court will have to go through all of the record of appeal, which I think it stands of thousands of pages and all the many documents, as well as consider what is in there in the petition of appeal. Of course, the court will not be aided by submissions which could have otherwise been filed by counsel. So the court still have to go through that exercise.
Okay.
But what would be damaging to Najib's case is that he would not be able to adequately put forward, he won't have the chance to put forward why, in excess of what has been filed, in excess that what is there in documentary evidence, he cannot elaborate why the lower courts have gotten it wrong. And in a lot of cases where counsel says that I don't have anything to say, that's really bad, because it is almost as though as you are conceding that you don't have a case. But I don't think that is the case here. I think the reason why the lawyers are not offering any written submissions is because they do not have any time. They say they don't have adequate time to prepare. So what I suspect, and what I think a lot of lawyers suspect is going to happen next, is that there will be a review application filed. So a review application, it's something that is outside of your normal appeal process. A review is basically saying that the final appeal court had gotten it wrong for really very limited reasons. And one of the main reasons would be breach of natural justice, which I suspect will be the ground that they were not given adequate time to prepare, and therefore there has been a breach of natural justice. So I suspect that's what's going to happen, and that's sort of what has been alluded to by the manner in which the case is being conducted. So I suspect that's going to happen next.
Okay. If that's the assumption, how does that tie in with the rest of the hearing for the next few days? I'm wondering, what is it that might happen in the tomorrow, Tuesday the 23rd, the hearing resumes. What happens then? Is a verdict likely to be delivered at the end of the week? And what happens after the verdict? Are the two options quash the conviction or straight to jail for 12 years? What is it that we need to watch out for, Sinyu?
It's very hard to say when exactly a decision will be delivered. I think we've seen in various high-profile cases, Anwar Ibrahim's, for example, the decision was reserved, if I remember correctly. So I suspect what may happen tomorrow is that if Hisham takes the same position as he did on Friday, the hearing will end tomorrow. So the federal court could then make a decision whether or not to reserve its decision. That means to deliver a decision at a later date or to decide on the spot. It's hard to say which way they're gonna go. You know, we can only speculate. And if the decision is against Najib, then unfortunately that's the end of the road for him, bar the review application. But as far as criminal law is concerned, there will be a mitigation, so he can still submit or make oral submissions on mitigation as to why 12 years or why the sentence that has been meted out is what was wrong or was excessive. But apart from that, any imprisonment or any fine that will be meted out by the federal court, if they decide against Najib, will be final. There is no more process for appeal. The constitutional process, Article 48, will also kick in. He will lose his status as an MP. I think after he would have an opportunity to file for a royal petition for royal pardons, but if that is dismissed, I can't remember correctly now how long that process kicks in. But once that's dismissed, or once the constitutional time limit runs out, he would lose his position as an MP, and there is no more stay of execution. If there's any imprisonment, he would have to go to jail. So right. Yeah, that's what might happen in the perhaps as early as next week.
Okay, well, thank you for helping us understand what to expect in the coming days. Appreciate your time, lawyer Niu Sinyu. There, we're going to take a quick break here and consider this. We'll be back with more. Stay tuned. Hi, welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. Joining me now is Associate Professor Dr. Hamidin Hamid. He's a political analyst with University of Malaya. Hamidin, let's begin with the most recent news, what's happening, what's unfolding at the moment, this emergency meeting. So this morning we had UMNO Division Chief meeting this morning, and now we understand that Zahid Hamidi and Najib Razak and other top guns in UMNO are expected to meet the Prime Minister Ismail Sabri Yaakob. They have an emergency meeting tonight. What do you understand to be playing out right now?
Thank you, Melissa. It's not only you, even the head of Division of UMNO was surprised when they were called last night. I was told that with a very, very short notice that they're going to convene a meeting early in the morning today, which happened around from 11 up to midday today. There is a special meeting between top leadership of UMNO and also all the heads of a division of UMNO. From what I gather, the information that I received is mostly about elections. They want to pressure the Prime Minister. I think they want to give a very unified voice that UMNO as a party and all leadership of UMNO at all level, from MKT, meaning from Putrajaya, from PWDC up to the divisional level, really want election to be called as soon as possible. I think this is a very tremendous pressure time for Yang Berhormat Perdana Menteri to consider. But and we know that tonight is going to be a top five of UMNO and have a meeting with Ismail Sabri. So I think why these things are very interesting to look within the context, Melissa, is not only the call for UMNO to have an election as soon as possible. But I think because what's going to happen tomorrow also, and what happened in the court today, especially in the trial of Zahid Hamidi, I think that's very much some of the ingredient that what makes the meeting today is very interesting to analyze. So in my point of view, it is not a separate matters. It is interconnected between one another. Tomorrow, I think very important time in Malaysian history of the final appeal of SRC for Dato' Sri Najib Razak at federal court. So I think every UMNO leaders in the countries are, I think, glued to the handphone, try to get as soon as possible any result in regard to the matters.
Okay, well, I do want to kind of focus very quickly on the division chiefs meeting this morning. There's been some speculation around that meeting, but I do want to ask you, Hamidin, reports that say many division chiefs did not show up this morning. Are you reading into that, lack of attendance? Is that purely based on the short notice and not being able to turn up in time? Or should we read something more about the subtext of support towards Zahid Hamidi and Najib Razak?
I think we can see it from many levels, Melissa, when we come to the attendance of the meeting. First, I think UMNO, I try... especially UMNO leadership, are trying their best to really understand a reality bite to what's going to happen to Najib Razak. I think this is a delayed reaction of UMNO leadership. We, for example, for analysis and analysts have been saying that UMNO should take a drastic action even after 2018, but you can see that UMNO make hardly any changes in terms of leadership. Najib Razak play a big role, despite all the charges. Zahid Hamidi is still becoming the president of UMNO, so you can see a very limited change happen in UMNO post 2018 and post all these high-profile corruption charges. But because what happened to Najib, I do believe that at the end, UMNO really realized that things are really happening to them. And this is where, in my point of view, to some extent, UMNO are panicking in the sense, first time in their history, where their ex-president and their president are both facing a jail time. So this is where it will create a huge, in my point of view, a vacuum in leadership in UMNO. So I'm very interested to see how UMNO going to cope with all this development. That's one thing. Mm-hmm. Second thing, in my point of view, interesting to look at, as you said, in the current situation, yes, there is a call for election, but it's very much for certain section of UMNO leadership. If you look at the masses, among the people, I think election is the last thing that people really want in their plate now. They are mostly concerned about their daily life, in the cost of living, the instability of their income, the price of things that getting higher and higher every day, meaning the economic and cost of living are very much concerned of the people compared to the political situation. So with that, I do think within that, I think there is a mixed reaction even among UMNO leadership itself when certain group really want an election to be called, because I do believe that some of them are really have their good ears on the ground and understand that people are really looking at different things now. It's no longer on politics.
Well, okay, I just want to circle back to Najib's final appeal, resuming tomorrow. And I, in the couple of minutes that we have left, I do want to ask you about the fact that he's really tried to change the narrative recently to one of victimization. How would you gauge the public support for Bosku right now? I mean, does he still have the political capital? Will he still have the political capital after all of this?
Okay, looking at the current situation and looking at the phenomena of Bosku and Najib Razak within UMNO, I do believe that he still have a strong life even if he's convicted by the federal court, which in my point of view, the hardcore supporter of him will definitely put a deaf ears, blind their eyes, looking the not totally different matters compared to normal people. So with that, I do believe that he still have that support. However, to what extent that support will go beyond his own small group of people, I doubt so. And looking at the current situation, I do believe for people who supported him, it doesn't matter what's going to happen, they will be with him all the way. But I think for many people in Malaysia, they really want to see how the judiciary upheld its independence and everybody is equal in the eyes of law. So with that, I do believe it's going to be very tough for Najib Razak to make a comeback, even though if he has a good support within his own party. Yes, I'm not denying that he will have that within his own party. But I think for the masses, it's going to be very difficult. So the impact of him, the impact of Zahid Hamidi being in charge, I think that will give a very difficult for UMNO to put on a defensive mode when it comes to the next election, when it comes to the political issues faced by the them, especially by the more and more dynamic and demanding voters out there. So with that, I do believe it's going to be very tough for Najib Razak.
Hamidin, thank you so much for joining me on the show tonight. Appreciate your insights. Political analyst Hamidin Hamid there from University of Malaya. And that wraps up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for this evening. Thank you so much for watching and good night.